This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello, sir.
Very impressive guests we have today.
Yeah.
Bob and Graham Rahal, racing royalty.
You know what it was like trying to get them both in at the same time? It's a once-a-year thing.
It was fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
Tough
glad
putt.
We could do it.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
The Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach coming up today through Sunday. Tickets available at gplb.com. It's a great weekend. I don't know that there's much like it. I've talked to a lot of the drivers. They said it's, if not their favorite stop, top two or three on the circuit. It's great environment, family, aquarium, beer, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for coming in.
Our pleasure. Great being with you.
So a few things, in no particular order. So Bobby, I'm just finishing my Willie T ribs doc. We were talking a little bit about that this morning. And then you brought up Red Roof Inn,
right.
And then I thought of Jim Truman.
Right.
And he's in the documentary a little bit. Jim Truman was the owner of Red Roof Inn, who's a sort of a saint philanthropist, old school,
okay.
They don't make them like that anymore kind of guy, who died very early, like 46 or something like that. Robust guy, loved racing, so he comes into the story like in the Newman doc where Newman comes in to help out Willie T. He comes out to help out Willie T too and says, what do you want to do? And he says, Formula Atlantic, and he says, I'll give you some money. But you'll see Red Roof Inn on my car Bobby's car, whatever his car it is.
It's his first.
And you'll see it on a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Red Roof, you'll see on Willie's helmet, Sleep Cheap, and blah, blah, blah. And then there's footage a Bobby at Indy, winning Indy with Jim Truman when Jim had to have just days left
to live. Yeah,
well,
that's right.
Tell us about that guy, because I see that guy, and I think there's another documentary.
He was an amazing guy. I had gotten to know him when I first started racing. He was racing at CCA. We were always in the same races, different classes, but same race. So I'd always, hung out with him. Here's a good-looking guy, very intelligent, great personality, and he just was one of those guys. Everybody, was like a light drawing, moths
flame,
and what have
yes.
you, because the guy had this aura about him, and so I got to know him. I was going to university not far from Columbus, where he was based, and I'd go hang out with him. He owned a bar in town, so we'd go. Get me drunk, just a great guy to be around. And so he started. He was my first commercial sponsor. I went to Watkins Glen in 1974, Formula Atlantic race. He gave me $500, And I thought that was like $500,000 you know, at the time. And every year, even when I raced in Europe, he was always helping me to some level. But even more so, he was helping people like, you know, it wasn't just me. There was a guy named Ed Pym who drove for Gurney in IndyCars. He was sponsored by Jim. Of course, Willie T., a young woman named Kat Kaiser who won an SCCA championship. I mean, he helped a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And so, when he said he wanted to go to Indy, wanted to start his own team, and he said, I want you to drive for me, he really kind of, in some respects, rescued my career, because in 1981, it was teetering. And so we started together in 82, and then we went Indy, 4 years later. So it was a pretty amazing story.
Yeah.
And it was at that point, I think, he had cancer. And at that point, it was clear that he was not going to see another Indy. Right. Another Indianapolis 500. So it was pretty moving stuff. But every time I go through the doc, he's in it for 4 minutes. But mm-hmm. I see him and I go, God, this guy's an interesting cat, you know. Graham.
Yes, sir.
So, let's see, you're racing this weekend, right?
We'll be out there, like you said, looking forward to it. Long Beach is, it's probably the second or third best race for me of the year. Indy 500's impossible to beat.
Sure.
And then right here is Mid-Ohio. Those two, Mid-Ohio's my home race. So those two kind of go back and forth. But Long Beach is it's insane. I think that the fans are going to love it. This year got new cars, new looking cars. Aerodynamically, they're completely different. And they're going to scream, down the front straight. So I'm looking forward to it.
You got 10 years now under your belt with IndyCar, which is a lot, right?
It's a ton.
It seems like the debut wasn't that long ago, which was an incredible debut, right? It was St. Petersburg had a huge win there, right? And now
a big emerald trophy, as I recall.
Yeah, no, it's it's weird. I'm 29, but I've been doing this for 10 years, and,
well, that's the crazy part. Fortunate. Like, I'm a veteran. I've been doing this for a decade already. Yeah. How old are you? 29. Yeah.
I know. It's strange.
I didn't even start till I was 29 in IndyCar racing, so that puts it in some perspective.
I mean, just now it's getting to the point where, like, there's rookies that are younger than me.
Asking you for advice
for
and
a long
what to
time,
expect.
It was like even the rookies were still older than I was. So it's been a lot of fun, we've had last few years have been really good years for us as a team, and obviously personally. So hopefully we can kind of break through this weekend. I mean, the Ray Halls have finished second, whether it be my dad, myself, or our team even, has never won Long Beach. I think we finished second like 7 times, between those three things. So hopefully we can find a way together to all make it happen this weekend.
How are you expecting the changes in the car to play in this? Are you liking the changes?
Well, it's going to change a lot. If you go back, not that any fan would want to do this other than those of us who need to study it. But if you went back and you actually watch the races, from the last few years, you see like this race has always been tough because there's a lot of fuel strategy that comes into play. Well, the new car, because of the aerodynamics, it has so much less drag that the fuel won't be an issue here at all. You'll be able to make it on 2 pit stops easily. So I think you're going to see guys driving a lot harder because you're not going to have to be hitting, any specific number. I think the car's way quicker down the straightaways, way quicker. I think here, last year we saw 178 or something. I think this thing will be over 190 for sure in the race on push to pass. So, you're going to have, the brake zones then become bigger. You've got a lot more passing. So I think fans are going to enjoy it. And the car's back to that sleek, sexy look that you remember from my dad's era and stuff like that, that we had gotten away from. The new car is certainly significantly better looking. And let's be honest, that's a big part of this, I mean, race cars are cool and they need to, we need to remember that and they've got to look that way. In the last couple of years, they lost their way a little bit.
Yeah.
I completely concur. We know from watching cars just sell at auction, sometimes, history is a big a big part of it, but the ones that look cool, they do better.
They do better. That's right.
Yeah, like women at bars. It's like when F1 went to the same size tire front and back, they lost so much aesthetically for me, because obviously that mid-70s huge barrel in the back with the thinner tire in the front was just such a great look. And at some point, they went the sort of mild tread, and they went with the same 275 40 series or something. I don't think it was a 55 series or something, but they went like the same tire front and back, and they just kind of lost it. It became a Datsun 510 at that point.
Well, and also I think, you know, today, of course, there's nothing much you can do about it, but what I love about, you know, the old days, you know, is you look at a 67 Eagle or a Lotus 49 or Ferrari in the 60s and 70s, and they all look different. Mm-hmm. And now everything looks the same. And so, which is a real shame, I think, because, you know, I mean, some of it's because the rules are that way. Some of it's because that's just the way technology leads you. But nevertheless, I think this year's car for sure is, in terms of looks, a bit of a throwback to a great period of time in IndyCar racing in the 80s and 90s. And I, as Graham said, I think the people are going to like it a lot more.
Well, you know, it reminds me, I always say that what kind of ruined the aesthetic, and these cars do look good, or do look much better for sure, but what ruined the aesthetic of jet fighters is the computer. Mm-hmm. So people in the 60s, every country had their own version of what would go fast or what would cut through the air, and they looked amazing. And now they're all kind of slabby, and they're all drawn on the same CAD design.
Right.
And it worked. Whatever works best in Germany and France and here just is what works best.
That's right.
And so they're all kind of turned into the...
Yeah.
The computer's going to... And the wind tunnel's going to force everyone into the exact same shape.
Exactly.
And, you know, actually where you see that even more is like Formula One these days. Yeah, every year is a new set of rules. Yeah, remember a couple years back they had those really weird, ugly noses and all that stuff.
Right.
But nobody had seen each other's design yet. When they all launched their cars, they all looked the same.
Right.
You know, but it's the... You know, ultimately, like you said... You know, really the technology and you know, CFD and wind tunnels, it leads you down a specific path. You know, in IndyCar racing, the key for us is obviously, from a financial perspective, is to keep budgets in track. And so that's why our cars are the same. You know, if you opened it up, maybe the bigger teams, us, you know, Penske, Ganassi, Andretti, you know, a lot of these teams would be able to kind of take off and do more aero testing and run off with something. But it would really, one of the joys about our sport today is that a team like Dale Coyne, which is a very small team, can win the first race of the year. Penske wins the second race of the year. But everybody's competitive. You know, everybody has a chance to win every weekend. Whereas we know in Formula One, where the costs are high and they're kind of off on their own, that's certainly not the case. You're looking at one or maybe two teams can win every weekend. So, you know, technology certainly pointed it in that direction. But I think, as Dad said, the one cool thing about IndyCar racing is that it's still pure. There is no driver aids. There's no power steering. There's no anti-lock brakes. You know, yes, the technology is coming in, but a lot of the technology that's coming into our sport makes it accessible for the fans. New camera angles, the ability to watch those cameras and live telemetry on your cell phone, and things like this that can connect back. But as far as the driving experience, this year's car is, I think, a lot more like it was even in the early 2000s. You know, they accelerate like crazy down the straights. They're not going to, like Phoenix last week on a short oval. Last year we were flat on a 1 mile oval. This year in the race, I was braking for turn one. It's a lot more like, you know, like my dad's time, which is cool to see the cars kind of take a step like that, because in racing nowadays, you really just don't see that much. If anything, it's becoming easier and easier and easier, and, you know, technology's making the game for the driver simpler, and we've kind of gone backwards on all of that.
What's the communication like between teams, other than the rules that IndyCar mandates on the technology and the things that you're talking about? Is there a technology transfer between teams? Is there a sharing of base? Because in the Formula One world, they don't talk to each other.
Not really.
But in NHRA drag racing, they're all like sharing parts at this point, right?
No, it's not. We're probably in between those two. you know, yes, the car is restricted. But, you know, the ability to find the advantage is that much harder as a result, you know, and you're spending more time. And, I mean, you're looking for such small little changes that are going to have effect. And even those effects might be very small individually, but if you get enough of them, it really does have a positive effect. And so, yeah, you're very guarded about yeah. what you and really the area that's of the biggest the biggest area of development in IndyCar is the dampers, shock absorbers, the ride control, the third okay. springs, things like that, because that you can do whatever that's open. And so you really spend a lot of money in those areas, and you certainly covet the information that you get from that.
That brings up an interesting point about Long Beach specifically, because one of the things that Adam's brought up on many occasions when we're talking about Long Beach is there's so much racing that goes on. I mean, there's no longer the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race, but mm-hmm. they're still drifting, and now they got the trophy trucks out there.
Right.
What do they do to the course that may mess you up, or is there an advantage? Extra rubber on the ground, or is there? I mean, no. those trucks may be leaving chunks of rubber yeah. out there.
Well, that's
and parts
and parts and the celebrity guys left a lot more than that yeah. out there. Yeah. Fluids and all kinds of stuff. I'm just wondering, how do you? Is there setting up the car differently?
You have to adjust. I mean, you do. You know, we know that if you qualify or you practice right after drifting, or you know, the stadium super trucks, it's going to be slippery because those things put off. You know, the amount of tire that just peels off of those and ends up on the marbles that end up on the racetrack is extreme. And if you get offline at all, you know, it's like ice. So the good thing is, though, that typically they've adjusted the schedule so we don't really have to be right after them normally anymore.
Yeah, now there's a week in between the drifting.
And but they still do the demos out there. They did.
Yeah, they do.
They still did the demos and stuff. But, you know, the other cool thing is IMSA's here this weekend. So you have the sports cars, you know, running around. And, you know, those guys have a nice long race on Saturday afternoon. They lay down a ton of rubber. But from the time that, you know, we go out for first practice to where you end up, where the race finishes on Sunday afternoon, yeah. it's a whole different animal. I mean, the track changes a ton. You just really have to rely on the past and hope that, you know, that it's similar to what we experienced last year and know what kind of adjustments, you know, worked or didn't at that time.
I'm going out Saturday morning early to go for a ride in the tandem IndyCar. So when you get out there, watch out for my vomit. That will be on the track for yeah. sure.
I got a cop to leaving a lot of champagne up on that podium. It was yeah. pretty, it's going to be slippery if you try to get up there.
A little bubbly, maybe sticky.
Of
it could be better because it could be sticky.
Sticky's oh, yeah, by now it's probably
yeah,
dried
it's probably
out.
It's been a while. Yeah, well, it hasn't rained in a while, so...
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge, designed for consumers to demand the best performance from their cars. Tech advances have made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. Engines today produce a lot more pressure, 10 tons per square centimeter sometimes. So only thing stopping the metal-to-metal contact, thin layer of oil. It needs to be strong. It needs to remain strong. Full synthetic Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. Letterman. Letterman's such an enigma. I know he loves racing.
Yep.
Will he come out for...
I think he might be here this weekend. It's not 100%, but I think
with his crazy beard?
Still there.
Still has it, I think. Yeah, still has it.
He normally comes here.
Yeah, he lived here for so many years,
yeah.
And in fact, the first time I met Dave was here prior to the Long Beach Grand Prix, like 1988 or 87, I think it was. But yeah, you know, he's big fan. Yeah, you know, very knowledgeable about the sport. Got a big car collection. But you know, he doesn't come to them all. I wish he did, frankly, but. But we get him to more than a few every year.
I'm curious, what kind of cars does he like in his collection?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit of everything. He's got Ferraris, he's got Porsches, you know, old Porsches. He's got Austin Healey's.
He's got MGs.
He's got
the Volvo wagon.
The Volvo wagon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I got a call from a friend of mine who was a producer on a show for a lot of years, and he said, "Oh, Dave wants to sell the car, the wagon."
Yeah.
I guess Newman did three of them. I think he did like one for himself that mm-hmm. maybe Wayne Carini has.
Yeah.
And there's another one, and then he did
Redford
one.
Did Redford get one?
No, it might have been Mike Brockman. I'm not sure.
And then he gave the other one to Letterman. And so he said he wanted to sell it and give the money to the Newman Foundation. So I said, tell him I'm in. And that was last we heard of him. Yeah, so man, you can hit him yeah. up this weekend.
If he wants
weekend.
To sell, let us know. Yeah. I'll be out there.
Well, actually, I think I'm not sure if it's – well, maybe I shouldn't say
anything. Yeah, I'm going to say I'm not sure if we should comment about this. But you might see
it
more
might
about
be
it.
It might be available sooner than you think.
All right.
Well, oh, really?
Yeah, in mind.
This yeah. might come up.
Yeah,
so.
Actually, clip all of this out of the show just in case it does come up.
Oh, you think he's bringing it to auction perhaps?
Yeah, perhaps.
Oh, all right. So we'll look forward to that. Yeah, I don't have any –
Oh, if he wants to avoid auction fees, I'm just saying.
There's another. No, he wants it to go to the right home. He doesn't want some Sultan of Brunei getting it and using it to cart around his whores. He wants it to, that's what he'll use it for, a whore cart. He wants it to live with Paul's memories and yeah. 10 of Paul's other race cars by Crackham. So the 935, which I have, which, mm-hmm. Of course, Bobby drove back in the day in the Apple livery and beyond. You drove for about two seasons
right.
in that car. One right. Daytona with Brian Redman in it. He's such a great old character. Tell us what you know or memories of Daytona or anything, you know, because we're learning about the car daily basis.
I mean, I think the of course, I had just come back from Europe racing in 1979, and I went down to Daytona to the last race to watch the race, get to meet people. And, you know, got the ride, that would start at, I think we started at Riverside or Sebring in 1980. Apple Computer was the sponsor of the car. Yeah, I think it's still the most popular of all the Porsche 935 models. The Apple car is the most popular one. And, had some good races in 80 with it. You know, we finished second in a couple races and, Bob Gerritsen and I, who ran the team, he was my driver in 80. Well, in 81, we started at Daytona with Brian. Of course, Brian, one of the world's greatest drivers, and of course, had a lot of success in endurance racing. And I'll never forget, of course, I wanted to qualify the car. And Brian said no, because, you know, I'm here, I'm 28 years old or something. I want to show everybody how fast I am. And, you know, of course, wiser heads prevailed, and they said, no, you know, Brian qualified the car like 15th. I mean, there were a lot of 935s in the race that year. And so he started the race naturally, and he said, we're not going to race anybody. You know, we're just going to wait. You know, let's get through the night, and we'll go racing tomorrow. It must have been about 11 o'clock at night, and I've just gotten out of the car, and I'm passing Brian in the paddock. He's getting ready to get in the car in the next hour or so. And he says, how are we doing? I said, we're leading. And he started yelling at me. I said, I told you, we're not going to be racing anybody. I said, Brian, I didn't do a thing. They all dropped out. And it was true. I mean, it's just everybody else got into this, you know, this sprint car pace or sprint race pace, I should say, and they blew their engines up. And so here we are, and it was like, look what we found. And I think we led something like 16 or 17 hours and won by, I think, 8 laps or something.
Wow.
But that was clearly the biggest victory I had in my career at that point. And then Brian and I raced the car a number of other times in the 81 season and had some good races. And, you know, so I had a lot of seat time in that car.
We had I think I was talking to Bruce Kennep about the Whittington Brothers car, their 935. And he said that when they restored it, they found that like on the rocker panel or rocker area that it had been carved out, you know, it had been cut out and then rewelded or something, you know, one of those things that if you restore cars is a little bit of an eye opener. Like what happened here? You don't normally, you can kind of go through the bones of a car once you media blast it and kind of you can see, well, it got hit in the front or whatever.
Right.
But this seemed suspicious, this thing. And then when they later found out, that's where they kept the nitrous. And they kept the nitrous there for qualifying. So as you said, they wanted to qualify up front, which I don't know what that does for you for a 24-hour race.
Nothing,
like quite honestly,
ego. Yeah, you want to say you're the fastest, maybe, but you know the amazing thing about it, you could adjust the boost pressure in the car. It was driver adjustable, and it was right down by the gear shift. The knob was right down by the gear shift. So as you're going up straights, you could wind boost into it, and then you would back it off because it was less responsive. The more boost you had, the less responsive it was. And I'll never forget Elkhart Lake, my teammate John Fitzpatrick, who was one of the best Porsche racing drivers ever. Elkhart's a fast circuit. You've been there, and you know, he I come in, and I think we ought to be pretty good. You know, I'm top two, top three. I come in, I'm like sixth. And I go, there's no way. And so I went up to the mechanic in Fitzy's car, and I said, what kind of boost pressure you guys run? And he goes, well, you didn't hear it from me, but we're running 1.4 bar, 1.4 atmospheres.
Yeah.
And I was told I could only run 1.2. So we went out for qualifying, and I said, hell with that. So, you know, so I wind it up, and I was on pole. And it's just amazing how much more power that thing generated. But it was like a drug. You just wanted to keep winding that thing.
I was watching, Chris, I don't know if you can find this, because I don't know if it exists on the internet, but somebody gave me a movie called, like, Moby Dick and War Horse or something, and it chronicles that car. And it's long, and only I could be interested in it. Only the guy who owns either one of those cars would find this enjoyable. But at the end, they showed Fitzpatrick's throughout the video. And at the end, they show him ending up at Laguna Seca for the Monterey Historics, and they're having a race. And you can see him, and he'll get down to the end. He'll get down to the straightaway. At Laguna Seca, it's all the way at the end. But you'll see him reaching around, turning.
That's what he's doing.
He's doing a historic race, yeah. And he's in that car, and he's down grabbing that knob at the end of this, you know, the beginning of the straightaway coming out of turn 11.
Yeah.
You'll see his hand on that knob the whole race, and it's just a historic race.
We tried doing that on the dyno, but it was getting a little scary.
I was just looking at the film of the pipes, you know, cherry red, the exhaust. And at Le Mans in 1980, Fitzy was in our team car, and we're going down the Mulsanne straight, and this is before they had the chicanes, so you're smoking down there at, you know, you're at over 200 for about a minute, right? Uh-huh. And I'll never forget, one of the greatest shots is I'm right behind him, and my headlights are bleaching out all the decals on the back of his car pretty much because they're that bright. But the whole back of that car in front of me, his car, was literally on fire. Fire's coming out the exhaust pipes. The exhaust pipes are cherry red. Fire's coming out of the wastegates. The turbos are cherry red. I mean, it was really an amazing sight.
Got it.
Anything that spits fire is good.
Oh, it's called Moby and the War Horse Gang. And if you ever want your wife to leave the room, all you got to do is pop that bad boy in. My wife owns half of that car, technically, and cannot watch 8 minutes of that movie. All right, let me tell you about HIMSS. 25% of ED cases are guys under 40. For HIMSS.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, ED can be optional. HIMSS connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat that ED problem. Generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to keep your hair and keep everything, man. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. It is made easy with HIMSS. That's HIMSS. And you can try it for a month for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. It costs hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. So go to forhims.com/carcasted. That's forhims.com/carcasted. forhims.com/carcasted. Did you find that, Max Pata?
The whole movie's not online, just trailers. I mean, it's a pretty rare DVD now. It's even unavailable through their production company.
You know why it's rare? Nobody wants
only
to
you
see
watch it.
Only I bought the only one.
Yeah, it's sold out now.
When that order came in online, they're like, yes!
Well, if you see modern-day footage of the guy, in-car footage of Fitzy driving the car at Laguna Seca, and Chris, you know Laguna Seca by now, you'll just see him all over that knob,
yeah,
which is
crazy.
Well,
Rennsport reunion's coming up. You might want to start doing some
research. I'll tell you what I want. I want to put a knob in there, but just have it just on a on a carriage ball attached to nothing.
I was going
to
say.
And then we'll have in-car footage of me constantly spinning that thing like a steering wheel in front of the supermarket. And I'll look like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, because the life expectancy of the engine, the more you go to the right, the worse the expectancy comes. You know, I mean, you keep winding it up, it's going to blow up. So it's just,
Yeah, well, I think we lost a couple cylinders last year at Laguna Seca, a little electrical problem, but I think we'll be back.
Yeah, fortunately, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. We pretty much narrowed it down to some plugs and wires and stuff, and then we sent the injectors out to get tested. They seemed to be pretty good. And on the dyno was making some power. You and I were talking about it while we were touring the collection, and there's this, there seems to be like this realistic number that these cars make, then there's this mythological number that Bruce Canepa tells everyone that a 935 makes. Yeah. And I know that's good business for him.
Darn good business, yeah.
But for now, I think we're going to keep it around 19, maybe 20 pounds of boost and about 590 horsepower with the tires and see how you do. Right?
Yeah, look, it's probably making 650 to the crank, and that's good. It's just weird that I'm not even a good driver, and it's got 650 horsepower. And when you're racing, you're like, come on, where is it? Come on, let's go. I have no business driving that car. And it's still, you want that knob up, man. Yeah. It's like it's a weird thing. I've never even drove the car, and I was like, let's get going with this thing. I think it's that back hill that always makes you, that goes into the corkscrew, that always makes you want that extra, come on, let's go. So
is that what you're doing every time you're out there, Graham, now with the new car? Like, we need a little
there.
More power?
I'm
a little
not
more
there power. Yet. Well, I mean, a driver's always going to tell you you want more power, right? So that's kind of a typical response, but the IndyCar, the new car goes pretty good. So
190 on that shoreline.
Going into that's, a left-hander with concrete everywhere.
They kind of have the same thing. You have this push-to-pass, right? And you're given a certain amount of time that you can, you know, what is it, 100 seconds or 200
seconds?
Here it's
200 seconds because it's straight long.
And you can use it as you want over the course of the race. And so the idea is that if you're in a fight, that's a chance to get by a guy, you hit the push-to-pass, and you get a little...
So the Whittington brothers are right with their nitrous part.
Yeah. What is that? All right, so let's talk about the power plant. What is the power plant in your car?
It's a V6 twin turbo, small displacement. I think it's 2.3.
Wow.
You know, as far as horsepower, yeah, ours is a Honda. It's actually, in many ways pretty similar to like the new Acura NSX, power plant. But the thing makes plenty of juice. They don't give us an exact number, honestly, because it's all so secretive. But all those engines are made right up here at Santa Clarita. So they're all produced right here in Southern California. And, they go pretty good. They've got to last 2,500 miles of racing and rev to 12,000 plus a little bit. You know, Dad mentioned the push to pass. When you do that, it increases the boost. It adds about 50 horsepower. And adds a couple 250 RPMs or something. So, you know, the engines, the life is actually pretty long for, you know, an IndyCar engine to last that long. They did that so that you'd have to use 5 engines total for the entire season to keep costs down. But it goes pretty good. It's I would guess it's around 700. Maybe on street course, 750 horsepower, but the car only weighs 1,500 pounds. So that's the biggest difference from, you know, even other motorsports, where the cars are 2-3 times, the weight. So, it's pretty cool. I mean, in the rumors of the new power plant that's coming is that it will go up to almost, I think, a 3-liter. And they're saying V6 again, twin turbo. They're saying that they think that the new IndyCar engines in 2021 or 2020 or 2021, whatever year they decide to implement that, based on new OEMs coming into the sport, could be up around 900 horse again. So it'd be pretty cool if we can get there.
The push to pass is a button on the steering wheel.
It is, yeah, and it just increases the boost pressure.
It screws with the wastegate a little, maybe.
It's all automated. You know, basically now the wastegates are all electric.
It's all
right?
Computer,
right. So it does it.
But it's still. It must. I feel like it's going through the wastegate. It's telling the wastegate to hold on for another 2 seconds or something.
It does. And it all happens so quick. You just set, you know, basically just increases the limit in the ECU of what the wastegate's willing to see. And it runs from there. But it's, I'll tell you, it's impressive. I mean, in a straightaway like this, well, with this new car, I mean, it could make, you know, 10 miles an hour difference. Road America in the IndyCar, even last year's car, which had a lot of drag, you know, it was 10 plus miles an hour there. So this year's car, just with the efficiency of it, it accelerates a lot quicker anyway. And then you use that and you can feel it. I mean, it's a heck of a difference.
The 2.3 is interesting to me because I'm trying to think of what V6 block that's based on, if it's based on anything.
In our case, in Honda's case, I don't think it is based. It's a purpose built.
Is everyone running Honda?
No. The other manufacturer, Chevy.
So is it sort of half and half?
And in their case, I'm very sure that the development that you've seen with like the CTS-V mm-hmm. is now a V6 twin turbo. That development came out of the IndyCar engine. Like I said, though, a lot of the parallels in the IndyCar engine, I've got an Acura NSX I daily drive. Though the IndyCar engine is very similar in many ways to that vehicle, but the sports car, the Acura sports car I drive. You'll love this. It's I drove for Team Penske at Daytona, Sebring, and hopefully coming up at Petit Le Mans. But it will be there this weekend, and that engine is the Honda Odyssey engine.
Wow.
Now, they bolt a couple turbos on it and let it go. But it's the Odyssey block.
It's not as sexy like you're saying, oh, Chevy's going to run the CTS-V engine. Yeah. That makes sense. Had you said that, you know, it's really the Chevy Spark block. You know, it's just not quite as sexy to do it that way.
But it's the way it's going. You know, look at the new, you know, look at a Ford Raptor, right? Pickup truck. Sure. I mean, that's a V6 turbo. I mean, that's kind of the way that everything is headed.
Nobody
it makes sense.
I think that's a bygone era where people are like counting cylinders, you know, especially with all electric involvement and stuff. And like one of Matt's favorite cars is that late 80s, early 90s Jag.
The XJ220.
Yeah. And when that car came out, it had a V6 in it. Right. And everyone's like, dud.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of supercar is a V6? And now, I guess, you know, Ford GT V6.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to know numbers in terms of horsepower, in terms of lap time. We don't care about number of cylinders anymore. We used to care. Petit Le Mans, I was talking about this. I was curious about this because, you know, we're talking about a show, and we're talking about, and this is not exactly it, but how well attended? I'm thinking about races and vintage races, especially around the world. And I know everyone's sort of having their old timers day. You know, they do the real race, mm-hmm. and then they do the old timers day and the vintage in there. And Petit Le Mans, do they have a vintage class that runs like the weekend before or something? And then how well attended is
well, the big one at Le Mans or at Road Atlanta, Petit Le Mans, is the Walter Mitty, and that's in April, I think, April or May. They get a good crowd there. They get great cars there, big selection of cars, but they get a lot of support, you know, spectator support. I don't think on Petit Le Mans weekend they have anything from a historic standpoint. You know, this last weekend at Phoenix on the Oval, they had the historic Indy cars, which is cool to see these guys, you know, and it was everything from the 30s all the way up to the 80s. And, but for most of the big historic races have weekends that are just their own.
Yeah.
Elkhart Lake has the what they call the Brian Redman, which is in July, I think. And Watkins Glen in September, you know, because then they have 600 cars. I mean, it's a huge entry, and, you know, a lot of people come to, I think, Elkhart Lake. I think the spectator attendance for that historic race is almost as good as it is for the IndyCar race. It's a big crowd.
We'll be at the Mitty coming up on April 27th, 28th, 29th at Road Atlanta.
The Rolex Historics in Monterey we were just talking about, and they cap it at about 550 cars, but now they're getting like 1,000 entries, and they got to still cap it at 550, something like that. But the attendance there has grown from... I think we were talking about is about 50,000 people in 2010, mm-hmm. and now it's like 75, maybe 80,000 last year.
Well, that's more than – I mean, that whole week, you know, car week now, it's more than just a vintage race, you know, which is pretty cool.
That's just at the track.
I'm
bothered by assholes who don't go to the – you know, I see them in their stupid suede loafers, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm going down to the Quail for a smart apple martini. I'm like, how about coming to –
what do you mean, no?
We're going to the Momo event at the lodge, and I'm like, go down to the track, you asswipe, or stop telling me you're into cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we never get down to the track.
And the thing about Monterey Historics, they're very selective on the cars that they accept, the entries they accept. And they're the real deal. I mean, you're not seeing clone, you know, Trans Am Camaros. You're seeing the real thing.
Yeah, yeah, they do. But they run all those chitty-chitty bang-bang cars in the morning on their wooden tires.
I think
everybody's rolling around the track at 70 miles an hour. It feels like 170 with your leather helmet on, but in goggles.
I think they're getting away from that. Hey, they're having Nissan is going to be the mark.
Yeah, like
for the first time, a Japanese car maker is going to be the mark over there, which is progress, because I don't think what I hear, the old regime was not, you know, over my dead body kind of thing with the Japanese cars being featured. There's quite a few more Japanese cars there. You didn't see that many there 10 years ago. Now there's quite a few, and there should be, because they did a lot of winning.
Well, exactly. They had
tons
a big
of winning.
You know, what was called Datsun originally, right?
Sure.
I mean, they did a lot to build motorsports. Same thing, you know, with Honda. They did a lot to build motorsports in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And so, yeah, they belong there for sure.
We're going to be up there with Nissan this year. Adam's going to be racing a car. I'm not sure which one yet. I don't know if we decided on which one yet. And we're going to be displaying, I think, three
Certainly
cars.
Certainly one of Newman's bigger cars.
That's cool.
Yeah, I if I can shoehorn it into the Saturday run group, because we base most our racing on schedule and a little less on competition. So, if you run on Sunday afternoon, it screws up. It screws up. We can't go to the Quail Lodge and stuff because that's you're qualifying in the middle of the, like, everything gets screwed up on the Sunday run group. Plus, those guys are super fast, so stay away from those GTP guys, and
there is a drinking schedule. And if you have a luxury of picking a car, there
is no question.
Yeah, if you can qualify on Friday morning, as you normally do, and then go to the Quail for the rest of the day, that's okay.
That's right.
Race on Saturday.
Yeah, you want to be one of the early run groups.
go to Pebble on Sunday, you know? Well, let me tell you guys about Geico. So everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You can just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. It'd be nice if they had race car insurance.
They try.
They're starting to try.
Like that's but come up a lot recently.
That was a money loser. That wasn't a money maker.
So we're going to be at Road Atlanta. If you guys are listening, want to come by and say hi, we'll have the Bob Sharp 610 out there.
You're going to be racing that, and the Roadster is going to be out there. And I believe
the BRE Roadster.
Yeah, the BRE Roadster is going to be out there. And there's going to be a movie night screening the Paul Newman film.
Oh, cool.
I believe it's Saturday night. I think you have to get tickets for it. Maybe it's the midi.com. We'll have to check. I believe it's the midi.com.
Yeah, you guys can
is. Or go to Classic Motorsports Magazine's website. They're putting on the event, so they should have all of that information as well.
Yeah. And John Morton will be there. He's a Grand Marshal. He'll be doing about 20 minutes of stand-up before the anyone who knows John Morton's going to laugh. I tell him to keep it to 20. He never does.
He always goes over.
But that'll be movie night. So enjoy that. The Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. That is today through Sunday. Bring the kids, man. It's one of those, you don't care about racing, it's the atmosphere. It's just awesome. And it's so great because it's like, so compact, and there's just humanity everywhere.
All the buildings around, fans are hanging out. It's the best.
It's a great event.
It's our Monaco.
Yeah. Absolutely, it is. Yeah. Absolutely,
it's the white trash of Monaco. So you can do that. You check out the website rayhall.com for any info, or shoot Graham a tweet at Graham Ray Hall or Bob Ray Hall. You can go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out me stand up. Podcast, whatever, coming to a town near you. Anything we're missing, fellas? No.
All good.
See you on the weekend. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Bobby Ray Hall, Graham Ray Hall, and Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com. This week on the Koi Pond.
Yeah, Buddhist monks were like out on the edge.
They were living
so fast.
Dude, they were counting stars. Do you know how boring your life has to be?
1,000. 2,000. 3,000. When you breathe air, is it really there? I don't know. Life, like a bull, may cause fire in the heart. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Shit, let me start over. 1.
Wake up.
Oh, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Podcast One.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.